This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, the U.S. Department of Justice filed an antitrust lawsuit against Apple. The lawsuit alleges that Apple has stifled competition and innovation by making it difficult for iPhone users to buy or use non-Apple products, including things like gaming apps, digital wallets, or smartwatches. Wisconsin is one of 16 states that joined the U.S. Justice Department in bringing the case against Apple. Our next guest is a lawyer in the Wisconsin Department of Justice and a national expert in antitrust law. She's here to help us understand the ins and outs of the case and what's at stake for big technology companies and consumers as the government tries to crack down on monopoly practices in the technology industry. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a longtime iPhone user? Have you run into problems with being able to use your iPhone with non-Apple products like smartwatches or apps? You run into issues in your family if some of you have iPhones, others have Androids. What are you hoping to see come out of this lawsuit? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Gwendolyn Cooley is Assistant Attorney General at the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Chair of the National Association of Attorneys General Multi-State Antitrust Task Force. Gwendolyn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm pleased to join you.
I gave a very short summary. There's a lot more to this case. Can you give us a sense of the basic claim at the heart of this challenge to Apple?
Yeah, I think you actually summed it up very well. You know, our claim is really about how Apple has created a moat around its very profitable iPhone to keep people using the iPhone and not switch to Samsung or Android. And they didn't do that by being just a great product. What we allege they did is a number of things, right? You talked about watches, you talked about messaging. We also allege that they blocked super apps. Now, if you're like, what is a super app? If you're familiar with WeChat in China, it's essentially the one app to unite them all, right? It is a super app that is everything to all people, okay? So Apple blocks those. But bizarrely, we allege that they allow them in China. So there's kind of a mismatch on why those are blocked here. Okay, that's one. You mentioned gaming, right? So we talk about suppressing mobile cloud streaming services. And there's a couple different ways they do that. One, the obvious one, if you're in a game and you need to, this is going to make me sound like I'm more experienced in gaming than I am. But if you're in a game and you need to buy a new skin, right, you're buying that through the Apple payment system, right? We also say that part of the reason why Apple blocked cloud streaming gaming systems is because that way you have to pay for the expensive smartphone that's going to have the processing speed to keep you using that. Because if you're just doing something that's in the cloud, that's processed elsewhere. It's not done on your local device, so you don't need the fancy phone, okay? So that's two. Mm-hmm. We talked about messaging, that's three. Smartwatches, right? And the reason why smartwatches matter, right? If you've got an Apple Watch, and then you have to have an Apple iPhone. If you decide that you want to get the latest Samsung or Android device, or if there was a miraculous other competitor in the device category, and you wanted to get that new phone, your Apple Watch won't work with something that isn't an iPhone. So essentially, you're throwing that in the trash. And then those third-party digital wallets you mentioned, right? If you use tap to pay functionality with your phone, you can only do that on your phone through the Apple Wallet if you have an iPhone, which makes you locked in. You can tell I just had my iPhone in my hand. Makes you locked in to using your iPhone, because if you get a new phone, you get a Samsung, you get an Android, you've got to then upload all of that information, all of your financial information, all of your Ticketmaster tickets, all of that stuff then needs to be reloaded through a different device. So those are not the only ways that we allege in the complaint, but those are the main ways that we allege that they're creating that moat to keep people locked into iPhone.
Now, the court filing, written in normal human language, which I always appreciate in legal briefs, specifies, shares some talk internally and externally from Apple executives that suggests that they were very conscious of this and doing it deliberately, talking about how bad it might be if people could move back and forth between an Apple and, say, a Samsung device on the same app. How important a part of this case is it that Apple was doing this intentionally, trying to make the word is sticky, make their products more sticky and make it harder for people to use other stuff?
We certainly allege that stickiness is a very important part of this case. While we're not required to prove intent in monopolization cases, which is what you're talking about, it is useful, right? As you say, normal everyday humans want to know why someone is doing a thing. And that's part of monopolization here, right? We're saying they are doing this basket of conduct because they are trying to entrench their monopoly. They're trying to create that moat to keep people locked into the iPhone. So I think it's great that we were able to cite some direct evidence in the complaint. I'm glad that we were able to keep that public and let you have access to reading the whole thing. I agree. It's a well-written complaint.
Gwendolyn Cooley is with us from the State Department of Justice, chair of the National Association of Attorneys General Multi-State Antitrust Task Force, talking about a federal lawsuit that Wisconsin is joining in against Apple, saying they are leveraging their market power to make it harder for competitors, whether it's app developers, competing devices, or consumers to use things other than Apple products once they start using Apple products. It's an antitrust suit. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Gwendolyn, I can imagine, you know, a devoted Apple user who says, hey, I use their phone, I use their watch, I'm happy with how they function. So how are these practices hurting me? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say that there is definitely a consumer effect, right? Should we prevail, and of course we're enforcers, not regulators, so it will be ultimately up to the court in New Jersey to decide this. But what we're asking for is essentially allowing some options, allowing app developers to create ways for people to move their data to other phone systems more easily. We also want Apple to be prevented from undermining that cross-platform technology, like with messaging and smartwatches and digital wallets and all that things, right? We're really trying to not play whack-a-mole here. We're trying to get at that foundation of this conduct.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jay joins us now in Washburn. Jay, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my question is if the lawsuit is based on any significant consumer complaints or if this is just from the states and the DOJ. And the reason I ask that is because I think most people buy products because they like the product type, and people buy Samsung or they buy Apple because they like Apple. If you go back to Apple 20 years ago, their motto was, it just works. So people start buying that. So is this significant consumer complaint or is it just from the states and DOJ?
Jay, thanks for the call. Gwendolyn.
So that's an interesting question, right? So we generally bring cases because we think they're important to consumers. Obviously, iPhone has a 65% market share nationwide. So roughly speaking, that means that somewhere around 3.7 million Wisconsinites are directly affected by the allegations in this complaint. And that's great if they're happy with the Apple iPhone as it could be. But what we're saying is consumers should have those options. So think how happy one might be if these things were fixed, right? And that's, you know, 3.7 million Wisconsinites being affected by that. That's something that I think is, you'd be hard-pressed to find something in Wisconsin that's going to impact more consumers, because I think it impacts not just those folks who have an iPhone, but if you have an Android and you have the green bubbles in your text message chats, with your iPhone users, right? Like that is a harm to competition that we see. So we are not saying that Apple isn't a good product. We're just saying we need to make sure that competition is preserved in this market.
Jay, thanks for the call. I want to talk about impact on what people pay for stuff. One argument I think from app developers is because of this effect of monopoly, the market share of Apple takes, I think it's a 30% cut of app purchases and in-app purchases, and Apple phones themselves have a decent markup. Is the hope that if these remedies that you're seeking are delivered in a court, that some of those costs would come down for the consumers themselves?
Yeah, I think that's brilliantly summarized. Yes, that is the hope, that the cost would come down for consumers themselves, ultimately, because if a court grants the injunction that we're asking for, that would mean that Apple would essentially have to open its black box to allow some of these more innovative products and to allow some more interoperability.
Gwendolyn Cooley is Assistant Attorney General at the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Chair of the National Association of Attorneys General Multi-State Antitrust Task Force. With us for a look at why Wisconsin and 15 other states have joined the U.S. Justice Department in a lawsuit against Apple that alleges the company is engaged in monopolistic practices, especially with the iPhone, that stifle competition and hurt both app developers and consumers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that major technology companies like Apple and a lot of the other big names should be more heavily regulated to keep competition in the marketplace? Or do you think Apple earned their dominance by having popular products that outdo the competition? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Gwendolyn Cooley from the Wisconsin Department of Justice about why Wisconsin and 15 other states joined the U.S. Justice Department's monopoly lawsuit against the Apple Corporation. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had problems when you try to do the same stuff across platforms that include Apple products? Did you finally give up and buy an Apple product to solve that problem? Join in at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Gwendolyn, we hear other concerns about monopoly practices at other big technology companies. Do you see this lawsuit targeting Apple as part of a wider campaign?
Yes. The Wisconsin Department of Justice, uniquely unlike the U.S. Department of Justice, actually has sued the entire gamut, I would say, of big tech companies. Last fall, we sued Amazon for monopolization in both the seller and buyer market that we alleged raised prices even off the Amazon platform. We've sued Google twice, which might be confusing, but let me just explain. One case was the Google search case. That's that big case that you may have heard about also last fall that we went to trial for, and that is still pending. We are doing closing arguments for that one in May. And then this winter, we announced a settlement related to Google's in-app payments, right? The Google Store. That settlement is still pending approval from the court. That one is for settlement is $700 million nationwide. Ultimately, a lot of that money will go directly to consumers, including Wisconsin consumers. The Facebook case, that one was a little bit less successful. We sued Facebook in, 2019 or 2020. I don't remember exactly when, but that one was to unwind the WhatsApp and Instagram mergers. That case, ultimately, we lost in the district court and on appeal. But we have definitely been taking a close look at big tech generally. I think part of the reason for that is that, right, it's important that there is no company, regardless of size, that is exempt from the antitrust laws, right? The size of a company is not an antitrust violation, right? Being a monopoly is not an antitrust violation. But it is when companies engage in these practices that we're extremely concerned. Now, that said, big tech is not the only concern that the state attorneys general have, and certainly not the only concern that our attorney general has, right? I, myself, for 8 years, if you include the investigation, led 42 states in investigation of the maker of the Suboxone drug, right? Investigation and ultimately litigation. We settled that case last June for $102.5 million nationwide, right? So big tech is extremely important. We want to make sure that we're keeping an eye on what they're doing and making sure that they're not stifling competition. But we are also looking at important things like drug industry, both generic drugs and name brand drugs. We have a case against pesticide manufacturers from their monopolization of the, I guess we call it the pesticides case, but it's really the crop protection chemicals. So including fungicides and insecticides and things like that. So, you know, we're really interested in more than just big tech, but big tech is extremely important. And it's important for us to be taking a look at it because, like you were saying in your lead-in, there isn't a regulator for big tech in the United States.
The lawsuit against Apple mentions the Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of Justice case against Microsoft. This is back in the 1990s, I think it was. And some people have made the case that, ironically, that helped pave the way for Apple to grow once that lawsuit came through. Can you talk about that precedent and how you see it shaping this current legal challenge against Apple?
Well, first, I will give everyone a history lesson. Wisconsin was extremely important in that Microsoft case. My predecessor as Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust, Kevin O'Connor, was one of the leaders on the state side for the Microsoft case, right? So we have a long history with that case. I would say, like you said, the success of the Microsoft lawsuit did actually pave the way for Apple, you know, because it reduced Microsoft's dominance. Whether we're really going to look at that as a litigation playbook, you know, times have changed and we have more recent experience, certainly from the Google case we just tried last fall. So I think we're going to look to use that experience, certainly look at what the court ruled in the Microsoft decision and all of these tech cases.
Talking to Gwendolyn Cooley, Assistant Attorney General at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, looking at a multi-state and federal lawsuit against Apple for anti-competitive behavior using some of their market power to unfairly, the allegations go, limit competition, to make things difficult for app providers, ultimately hurt consumers. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. What is the timeline, Gwendolyn, on this case? When are we expecting this to hit the courts? I know these things can run on for a long while.
Yes, they like we were just saying, the Google search case was a fast antitrust case because it took 4 years. We have hit the courts, right? We filed this complaint in New Jersey. It's before Judge Farbiage. We don't know what the timings are yet. He hasn't set a schedule. We'll be negotiating that over the next few months. Typically, we're seeing a kind of 2-4 year timeline for when a trial is set on these cases. So we will wait and see what the judge decides. Often we will negotiate with the other side and kind of come up with a timeline and then present that to the judge and see what works best for his schedule in this case.
Let's go back to our callers. Jeff is with us in Onalaska. Jeff, hi.
Hey there. I'm just wondering, are we focusing on big tech because they have deep pockets? Seems like we could be doing a lot more of antitrust related agriculture and how that consolidation is driving up prices at the grocery stores. So yeah, tech can affect people and how much they pay for a new iPhone, but when you go buy a gallon of milk or when you buy food at the grocery store, it can be affected more so by these antitrust than the fact that we're not looking at prosecuting the antitrust that's going on or the consolidation that's going on in ag.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Gwendolyn, you mentioned some other industries, the drug companies and others that might be pesticides, that might be targets of antitrust action. How about some heavily concentrated parts of the food supply chain?
So I think our caller, Jeff, is correct, right? Big tech is important, None of the cases, with the exception of the Google in-app payments case, none of the cases are money cases. They're not deep pockets. They're about getting injunctions so that they're competing better. Okay. As far as agriculture goes, I absolutely agree. Agriculture, in my time as chair of the NAG Antitrust Task Force, that has been one of the things that has been most important to me. Obviously, agriculture is extremely important to the state of Wisconsin. Attorney General Call, and I staffed the case, challenged the second Dean Foods merger. I've actually challenged their mergers twice because we were trying to protect Wisconsin's dairy industry and make sure that, for example, dairy farmers had an opportunity to have a place to send their milk that wasn't a complete monopoly in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, we challenged that merger. We got some divestitures of two plants, one in De Pere and one just outside of Wisconsin over the Illinois border. Extremely important industry. Like I said, we've currently got the pesticides case going on. We actually have been working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and received a grant. The multi-state group has received a grant to continue to prosecute cases in the agriculture space. It's extremely important. Grocery stores, you mentioned. I will just say, typically the way that we look at mergers are whether there's head-to-head overlap in mergers. And a number of states are challenging the Albertson-Kroger merger. And one of the concerns that those states have is the increase in grocery prices that have gone up 25% in the last few years. So I absolutely agree. Agriculture is extremely important, and we're continuing to work hard at that, right? I'm here to talk about this one big tech case, but we've got an assortment of cases, including, in particular, agriculture. It's so important.
Jeff, thanks for that call. Gwendolyn, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Gwendolyn Cooley, Assistant Attorney General at the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Chair of the National Association of Attorneys General Multi-State Antitrust Task Force. We've been talking about the U.S. Department of Justice's lawsuit against Apple, why Wisconsin's Justice Department has joined that case, and what it can mean for consumers along the way.